Good morning. Shall we turn to the Lord in prayer right now? Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit that lead and guide us every step of the way. We recognize that it is the work of the Holy Spirit that prepares everything ahead, and we just need to follow. Help us this morning. Once again, as we come with a humble heart. Open our hearts and spirit to learn what you have recorded in the book of Acts. And we want to ask you to bless this time and let our hearts just rise up in faith to connect with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we are going to talk about the book of Acts, chapter 10. There are a couple of verses to read. Okay, shall we read this together as a form of declaration of faith? Not all the verses, but we have a bit more to read this morning so that we can capture the whole story. Shall we go? 1, 2, 3. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and pray to God regularly. One day, at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come out as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter." About noon, the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. Verse 11, he saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened 3 times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. Verse 19. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, 3 men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Verse 22. The man replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He's a righteous and God-fearing man, who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the man into the house to be his guest. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. Verse 30. Cornelius answered, "3 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour at 3 p.m. Suddenly, a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remember your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He's a guest in the home of Simon the tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us.'" And in verse 34, last one, then Peter began to speak. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right." While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely, no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now the key verse this morning is, "So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing." This is in NKJV. The key word is "I prayed." This picture captures a rough story of what we have just read. You will read, you will see, you see on the left side is Peter, right side is Cornelius, and you know, they are all basically talking to God, and God visited them. For Peter, he fell into a trance, a vision basically, and he sees something that he was unexpecting. And later he arrived, he went on by faith to Cornelius' house. And then on the right side, Cornelius is visited by an angel, and then the angel tells him to send two men, and he went to look for Peter, and later on, Peter joined two men to visit the centurion Cornelius. So this is a rough capture, capturing the whole story. Now, before that, I want to share with you maybe just a question. Imagine God asking you to reach out to the one person you most unwilling, reluctant to visit. The person whose reputation frightens you, and the person you are convinced that this guy will never respond to the gospel. Would you go? Most of us would hesitate. And we have our reasons. He's not ready. Someone else will be better. But what if the greatest obstacle is not his rejection of the gospel, but our assumption that he would never respond to the gospel? Think for a minute. What if the greatest obstacle is not his resistance of the gospel, but our assumptions that he would never respond to the gospel? What if while we are deciding whether to go, God has already been preparing his heart? Sometimes the greatest barrier to God's mission is not the people God wants to reach, but the mindset of the people he wants to send. Acts chapter 10 is a turning point where God begins to expand the gospel beyond the Jewish boundaries, beyond the Jewish people. And God reveals a vital truth. It is the Holy Spirit who prepares the heart for the gospel. It is the Holy Spirit who orchestrates divine opportunities and open doors for the gospel. And the story shows us that the work of the Holy Spirit begins long before Peter, the preacher, arrives. It begins with prayer. This story does not begin with Peter, but with a man at prayer, Cornelius. And before Peter was ever sent, Cornelius was already praying and seeking God. I can see that Cornelius was a devout man who feared God. He gave generously. He prayed to God. He was an obedient man. And as Cornelius prayed, the Holy Spirit set his plan into action. And before the Holy Spirit began to work through Peter, the Holy Spirit first had to transform Peter's mindset, his thinking. And so the question, the very first question we want to deal with this morning is, why did God have to change Peter's mindset before he would preach effectively? And I think this would apply and be very relevant to all of us. Why did God have to change Peter's mindset? First, before he would preach effectively. So before God could send Peter to Cornelius, he first had to change Peter's mindset. His thinking. You know, Peter's problem is not about lack of faith. It's not lack of passion or sincerity. It's not about the opposition or even lack of opportunity. His greatest obstacle was his mindset. And like every Jew of his day, he had been shaped by tradition. Jews were taught not to associate with Gentiles, not to enter their homes, not to eat their food, because Gentiles are non-Jews. Gentiles are anyone outside God's covenant people and were regarded as ceremonially unclean. Over time, these traditions became deeply ingrained beliefs. And Peter's issue was his deeply embedded thinking. He instinctively divided people into clean and unclean. His prejudice had become a barrier to God's purpose. And so that's why God confronted Peter in a vision while he was praying. You know, one day he was praying, he went up to the roof at noon, and as he began to pray, he felt hungry. Have you ever experienced, as you start to pray, you feel hungry? It's a very interesting experience, isn't it? You start praying sincerely, but before long, your stomach takes over. Instead, focusing on prayer, you are mentally scrolling through the lunch menu. Buntong ki chicken rice. Katong laksa. And then finishing off with a scoop of Birds of Paradise gelato. Nice, right? But God interrupted his spiritual moment with a very human need. And then Peter saw a vision that was completely unexpected. A sheet came down from heaven filled with animals of every kind. And not just the clean animals Peter was comfortable with, but also the animals Peter had been avoiding all his life because they were considered unclean. Animals that he had rejected without a second thought. To Peter, these were not just live animals. They represented foods he had spent a lifetime avoiding. Roast pork, char siu, turtle soup, maybe steaks meats. And then came the shopping command. Kill and eat. And Peter was there. Yes, Lord, I'm hungry, but I'm not that hungry, right? The vision was repeated 3 times. Not because God was unclear, but because Peter's mindset was resistant. And Peter knew something about the 3 times moments. He denied Jesus 3 times. Jesus restored him 3 times, and now God confronted him 3 times. It is as if God is patiently pressing through Peter's resistance until his mindset began to change. And each repetition went deeper into Peter's thinking, confronting not just his appetite, but his lifelong categories of acceptable and unacceptable. So the vision was not and never about the food. It was about people. God was dismantling Peter's categories of clean and unclean. So before Peter could enter Cornelius' house, God had to remove the barriers in Peter's heart. God was not only changing what Peter could eat or cannot eat, he was changing who Peter was willing to accept. But meanwhile, God had already prepared Cornelius. Peter was not yet prepared for Cornelius. The Holy Spirit had already prepared, arranged the meeting. So the only delay is Peter's perspective. Peter almost missed a divine appointment because he was viewing people through the lens of tradition instead of the perspective of God. And so here's the principle. God often works on our thinking before he works through our opportunities. He changes our perspective before he expands our reach. Imagine wearing a pair of tinted glasses for many years, and then you forget that you are wearing one. And everything you see is colored by those lenses, and you assume that it is reality. But when the glasses are removed, you realize that your perception was never fully accurate. In the same way, traditions, experiences, assumptions, prejudices can become the lenses that distort how we see people. We don't realize our perspective is limited until God opens our eyes. So let me ask you this question. Who is the person you have been reluctant to reach? Who have you quietly written off as beyond God's reach? Before God opens a door, he wants to change your perception. He wants to change your thinking. Because if this hurdle is not even overcome, you can't even start the first move. Everything is jammed. What areas of Peter's thinking needed to be changed? God had to break three barriers in Peter's thinking. The first is assumptions. The second is convenience. Third is fear of rejection. Assumptions. Peter could not see what God was doing in Cornelius' life. You know, Cornelius was already a seeker, waiting to hear the gospel. His heart had been stirred by God before Peter even arrived. But Peter's assumption blinded him to God's activity. He assumed Gentiles are outside God's reach. Gentiles were unlikely candidates for salvation. God was not working among them. And because of that, he almost missed a divine appointment. And we do the same. And we often fail to see that the seekers God has already prepared. We assume people are not interested. In reality, the Holy Spirit has been stirring in their hearts. We fail to see how the Holy Spirit is working. And therefore, we fail to recognize the activity that the Holy Spirit is already moving, happening, and working. So the issue is not the absence of seekers. The issue is the presence of assumptions. Think of an iceberg. Only a small portion is visible above the surface. The much larger lies beneath the water. And people are like that. We only see what is on the surface. Their appearances, their personality, their lifestyle, all the past. But we cannot see what God is working underneath, beneath the surface. So what Peter could not see was everything God had already done beneath the surface. Peter saw only a Gentile. God saw a prepared heart. We see the outside. God sees the unseen work of his Spirit. That's our assumptions. Our assumptions can be so dangerous because they cause us to judge by what we can see while God is already at work in the ways we cannot see. We assume certain people are unlikely to respond to our message. We decide who is open, who is not. The outspoken one, the argumentative person who asks difficult questions, we avoid them. The family member who seems hostile, we stay silent to keep peace. The colleague who appears uninterested in spiritual things, we simply move on. We judge openness by what we see on the outside. And so we begin to label people based on their appearances. They look rough, tough, too intimidating, with many tattoos, piercings. Sometimes we label them because of past experience. He rejected the gospel, so he will never change. Sometimes it is the background. He already follows another religion. He worships another gods. So no point. Sometimes it's their occupation or status. This guy is so rich and successful, they don't need God. We see labels. God sees lives he is already drawing to himself. Peter saw a Gentile centurion. Today, we may see a drug addict, ex-convict, or a difficult colleague. And we see unlikely people, but God sees prepared hearts. You know, the very people we think are too far gone, maybe the very people God is already working. The problem is not that God is not working. The problem is that our assumptions keep us from seeing what God is already doing. Imagine someone standing inside the house, praying, "Lord, please use me," but refusing to walk through the front door. The opportunity isn't inside the house, it is outside. Many of us pray to God to use us, but we want Him to do without asking us to leave what is familiar. You know, Peter had to walk out of Simon's house, travel about 60 kilometers before he could walk into Cornelius' house. And it's not easy for him to enter into a Roman military officer's house because the Roman military officer represents the occupying empire that many Jews deeply resented. Peter would never have imagined a Roman centurion's house would be the place of one of the greatest spiritual breakthrough in the early church. Had Peter chosen convenience over obedience, he would have stayed where he felt most comfortable and missed it all. But we are no different from Peter. We naturally gravitate toward what is familiar. We prefer familiar people, familiar places, familiar conversations. Our comfort zone becomes our mission field. We enjoy being with people who think like us, live like us, talk like us, feel like us. But God's opportunities are often waiting just beyond the boundaries of our comfort. He is preparing hearts in ordinary places where people live, work, gather every day. So the challenge is not that God isn't working. The challenge is that His opportunities often requires intentional obedience. Convenience holds us back. We greet our neighbors, but seldom build relationship. We say good morning, but we never learn their names. We smile at our neighbors, but never got to know their lives. We keep a comfortable distance when God is calling us into deeper engagement to move beyond casual contact into people's life. And too often, we choose comfort and convenience over connection. Now, Peter had to leave the familiarity of the Jewish fellowship and step in the home of a Gentile. So in the same way, God often calls us to leave our comfortable Christian spaces and enter the ordinary, everyday places where He's already at work. Our neighbors, our colleagues, our family members, our social circles. If we only look for God in church activities, we may miss what He's doing in everyday life. Because the harvest is not waiting inside the church. It is waiting where God has already sent you. Our mission field begins where our comfort zone ends. Convenience. And the third barrier in a mindset change is the fear of rejection. When Peter arrived at Cornelius' house, he said, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile." You know, the words reveal more than a cultural barrier. It reveals years of conditioning. Peter expected Gentiles to be resistant, unwelcoming, outside of God's saving work. In his mind, rejection was normal, standard. Receptivity was unlikely. And we are often no different. Our expectations are shaped by our past experiences. Hey, we tried before, we shared the gospel before, but we rejected. We started a conversation and it became awkward. We pray and nothing seemed to happen. Over time, disappointment becomes expectation. And we begin to assume people are close when God may already be opening their hearts. And here's the danger. Yesterday's rejection can rob us of today's opportunities. One disappointment makes us hesitate. Repeated disappointment makes us withdraw. Eventually, we stop expecting God to work. And that is exactly Satan's strategy. But many of us, we live in that and believe in that. Believe in the lie of the devil, but not believing in the word of God. But Peter did not stay here. He crossed the threshold. He walked into Cornelius' house. He moved from fear of rejection to trust God in God's preparation. What he expected to be resistance became readiness for the gospel. It became a divine appointment. What he feared to be rejection became one of the greatest gospel breakthrough recorded in the book of Acts. Are we not the same? A neighbor we only greet becomes someone we intentionally engage, and suddenly the door opens. A resistant family member becomes someone we consistently pray for and gently pursue. A difficult colleague becomes someone we choose to listen rather than avoid, and slowly trust begins to grow. Fear says, stay away. But faith says, step forward. Rejection may be part of our experience, but it must never become our expectation. Our past encounters do not determine God's present opportunities. So the lesson from Cornelius is clear. Do not let past disappointment blind us to today's divine appointment. Because the very person we expect to reject may be the very person God is already preparing. And before God opens the door, He first needs to change our perspective. And when God changes our perspective, He broadens our reach. Second question. What happened when Peter acted after his mindset changed? when Peter's thinking was realigned with God's perspective, it reshaped how he saw people. He no longer saw people through the lens of tradition, prejudice, or past assumptions. He began to see people through the eyes of God, where he once avoided, he now embraced. Where he once resisted, he now stepped into. And here's the truth. A changed mindset must lead to actions. Must lead us to take actions. If our thinking changes, but there's no action, and we don't take actions, or actions remain the same, we only receive information, not transformation. Real transformation is not proven by what we know, but it's proven by what we do. So what happened after Peter changed his mindset? First, he crossed the barriers he once avoided. Peter did what the old Peter would never have done. He invited Cornelius' men, say, hey, come, stay overnight, be my guest. Tomorrow, then we go to Cornelius' house. He welcomed them as overnight guests. He traveled with them. He stepped into Cornelius' house. You know, for a devout Jew, this was unthinkable. Peter was not just crossing a doorstep. He was crossing centuries of prejudice and tradition. God transformed Peter's conviction before entrusting him with a new assignment. Peter could now say, God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure and unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. That's what Peter said. So this was more than just a change of location. Peter did not simply enter a different house. He became a different man. Many believers are praying and waiting for God to do something new, yet refuse to go somewhere new. And they ask God for breakthrough, but they kept standing on the same side of the barrier. Peter teaches us the truth. When God changes our perspective, he changes our direction. Breakthrough begins with a step of obedience. The miracle was waiting on the other side of the barrier. And perhaps the breakthrough you've been praying for, the person God wants you to reach, is waiting on the other side of the barrier you have been afraid to cross. Faith doesn't just believe God's word. Faith walks through the door God opens. So first thing, Peter crossed the barrier he once avoided. Secondly, he discovered that God had already gone ahead. When Peter arrived, Cornelius already gathered his relatives and close friends waiting to hear the message. The people were ready because God had prepared their hearts. God had gone ahead of the opportunity that has opened. That's how the Holy Spirit works. While we are hesitating, God is already preparing. While we are wondering, God is already working. And while we are delaying, God is already arranging. God prepares people while he prepares his messengers. Second, God has gone ahead. Thirdly, he saw people differently. Peter declared, God does not show favoritism. And this was a defining moment in Peter's life. And the question was no longer whether the Gentiles could come to God. The question was whether Peter would see people the way God sees them. He now understood no person is beyond God's reach. The gospel had not changed. Peter's perspective had changed. And when we see people as God sees them, we will reach people we never thought possible. So he sees people differently. Fourthly, he proclaimed the gospel without hesitation. The moment the mindset is changed, Peter understood God's heart. He preached with boldness. No more hesitation. No more excuses. No more barriers. He simply proclaimed Christ. And notice the order. Peter obeyed first before he fully understood. Then the opportunity unfolded. And many of us want clarity before taking the first step. Peter teaches us the opposite. Obedience first, clarity follows. Obedience must precede opportunity. And the fifth change in the mindset, his example reshaped others' understanding of God's will. Peter's obedience did not just impact Cornelius, it reshaped the entire church. When Peter reported what God had done in Acts 11, chapter 11, the Jerusalem believers criticized him. You know, people they are your closest with criticize you, co-laborers, leaders in Jerusalem. And Peter had to defend his actions by recounting what God has revealed, how the Holy Spirit had worked among the Gentiles. And as they listened to his testimony, the Jerusalem believers were confronted with God's unmistakable work and were forced to rethink their assumptions about the Gentiles. What began as Peter's personal transformation became church transformation. One person's obedience can shift an entire community. One believer who learns to see what God sees can help others see differently. Peter's story makes one thing clear. A changed mindset is not the end goal. It's the starting point. It is incomplete until we act on it by faith. Transformation is complete only when revelation becomes obedience. When we see what God sees, we will do what God says. And when God changes one life, He can use that one life to change many others. So you see, wow, a lot of changes after the mindset change. And the third question now is, how did the Holy Spirit orchestrate an open door for kingdom expansion? The moment Peter's mindset was changed, we are going to look at how the Holy Spirit already orchestrated everything ready for him to just step forward and ready to reap everything. The meeting between Peter and Cornelius was not a random coincidence. It was a divinely orchestrated appointment arranged by the Holy Spirit. Think of this. Think of an orchestra before a concert. A musician is tuning the violin. Another rehearsing the piano. The conductor studying the score. To each musician, his part seems separate. But when the conductor raises the baton, every note comes together at precisely the right moment. That is what Holy Spirit was doing in Acts 10. While Peter was in Joppa, while Cornelius was in Caesarea, while the servants was traveling, the Holy Spirit was coordinating every detail. What seems unrelated was being woven together by the hand of God. And when Peter and Cornelius finally met, it wasn't coincidence. It was divine choreography. It was not an accident. It was an appointment. What looked like an ordinary meeting was actually an open door for the gospel, an open door into the Roman world, an open door into Rome, the central power and influence at that time. God was doing far more than saving one family. God was opening a doorway to a city and eventually to the nations. The Holy Spirit orchestrated the timing and the setup of the meeting. So we look at while Peter was in Joppa, resting after the ministry, God has already a new assignment for him, arranging that. So when God sets an appointment, delay is dangerous. Had Peter delayed, he would have missed every single opportunity God has given. Because divine opportunities are time sensitive. And when God prepares, what God prepares in eternity can arrive in a single moment in time by the Holy Spirit. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit says, do not hesitate. Go with them, for I have sent them. The Holy Spirit prepares the hearts of both parties. Notice the precision of God's work and His timing. Nothing is random. Everything is orchestrated. On Cornelius' side, it all began with a prayer. Cornelius was seeking God before Peter arrived. His prayer became the starting point of God's divine appointment. And he obeys God immediately. He gathers his household in expectation. He creates an atmosphere of readiness. He waits in expectation. He doesn't even know Peter's name yet. But faith filled the room before Peter arrived. On Peter's side, God confronted Peter's prejudice and prepared his heart before he met Cornelius. But Peter, and when they finally meet, it's not the beginning of a story. It is the collision point of two lives God has been preparing all along. Cornelius was prepared. Peter was prepared. The timing was prepared. The encounter was prepared. And before Peter arrived at the door, the Holy Spirit had already opened it. And so the lesson is clear. God is always the first mover. We simply respond in obedience. When the Holy Spirit opens the door, no human obstacles can shut it. And when God prepares both the messenger and the listener, all that remains is one word, obedience. So, A, it is the Holy Spirit who orchestrates the timing itself. Secondly, B, it is the Holy Spirit who opens the door. But when the Holy Spirit opens the door, we determine who enters it. And it's very important. Holy Spirit opens the door, but we determine who enters it. You know, the Holy Spirit does not only open doors. He opens moments of divine opportunity. But what happens next is crucial. When God opens a door, we decide who steps into it with us. Cornelius responded by gathering his household. Notice what Cornelius does. He immediately gathers his household, his relatives, his close friends, and fellow soldiers. He brought his world into this moment. This is the power of oikos. Your God-given sphere of influence. Your family, your relatives, your neighbors, your colleagues, and the people God has already placed around you. Long before Peter arrived, Cornelius had already built relational bridges. This did not happen overnight. He had earned credibility over the years of faithful living. He openly lived out his faith before his family and friends. And as a result, his invitation carried weight. Although he was a Roman centurion, he could command others, but he could not command the hearts of his relatives and friends. They came because they trusted him. His invitation carried weight because it matched the life, the lifestyle that had already been seen by all of them. So when Cornelius invited them, come to my house. God is about to speak. They came. Their hearts are open and ready. Cornelius had lightly shared with them about God of Israel and why Peter was coming. The openness of heart and their willingness to gather and listen was no accident. Cornelius had already built trust and spiritual influence among those closest to him. And so when God opened the door, Cornelius already knew exactly who to bring across those bridges. The Holy Spirit opened the door that day, but Cornelius had been building the bridge for years. So the breakthrough was not simply that Peter came. The breakthrough was that Cornelius already had a room full of people waiting to hear the word of God. And those people did not gather by accident. They were there because Cornelius had spent years building relationships, earning the trust. Relationships built over the years became the platform for the gospel. Before Peter preached, Cornelius already had been preaching with his life. So evangelism usually begins with existing relationship. We often look for new people, new setting, new opportunity. But God usually starts with ordinary relationships already in our lives. The family we already see. Friends we already talk to. Neighbors we already greeted. Colleagues we already work with. God usually does not first send strangers, although God can do it. He begins by redeeming those relationships he has already entrusted to you. So before people listen to the gospel, they usually learn to trust the messenger. So if I share the gospel with you and you don't trust me, you think I'm lying, do you think that you will come and believe it? It will never happen. He has already trusted you. Therefore, they are willing to explore. So the real question is not, has God opened the door? The real question is, who are you bringing through the door? Every divine opportunity carries an assignment, not only for us, but for everyone connected to our lives. Cornelius teaches us this. Breakthrough multiplies relationship. Cornelius did not receive the word alone. He didn't experience the Holy Spirit alone. He brought his circles, his community into God's presence. And when Peter preached, the Holy Spirit fell on every one of them in the house. That means their hearts are all ready. They all received the Lord, all baptized. So this is the principle. When God opens the door, He's not only thinking about one life, he's thinking about a family, a workplace, a neighborhood, a network. One obedient believer can become a gateway for many. So here's the question. If God opened the door for you today, who would be standing in the room with you? Invest in people today. Love them, serve them. Pray for them. Leave the gospel before them so that when God opens the door tomorrow, they are ready to walk through it with you. Open door. Thirdly, how the Spirit orchestrates is not just a timing and setting. He doesn't just open door, but he uses strategic people. The Holy Spirit uses potential leaders such as the centurion. We must be strategic in our vision. We must see with spiritual discernment. You see, God is never random in his strategy. It's not random. I simply walk on the street and bump into someone. Oh, I share the gospel. Yes, that's possible. But God usually doesn't work that way. Right? So you can see here, God is never random in his strategy. God often begins with strategic people. Because one transformed life can influence many others. Like Cornelius, a Roman centurion, a Gentile, a man outside the covenant, but never outside the reach of God. God often reaches one strategic person to open the way for many. So what happened in Cornelius' house became a turning point for the early church. The Jewish believers could no longer deny that God was working among the Gentiles. And they declared, even the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. One household reshaped the thinking of the church. The encounter became a major turning point in God's mission. Acts chapter 10 was never just about one family. It became the doorway for the gospel to move beyond Jewish boundaries into the Gentile world. What began in one house became a wave that reached the Roman world. He was God's gateway for the Gentiles' inclusion into the church. One strategic life, a global mission shift. So how the Holy Spirit works, He already worked ahead and He's planning everything. He's just waiting for us. Now, this is the pattern of the Holy Spirit. As you recall last week, Acts chapter 9 and 10, I want to make a comparison here. When we step back and read Acts and 9 together, we discover the Holy Spirit repeating the same pattern. On the left, Acts chapter 9. On the right, Acts chapter 10. And 9 is talking about Saul. 10 is talking about Cornelius on the third column. And the third column, you can see God's perspective. We see the same pattern. We see Ananias, we see Peter. Different people, different assignment, the same God. Ananias saw Saul, the persecutor. God saw Paul, the apostle of the nations. Peter saw Cornelius, the Gentile. God saw Cornelius, the gateway for the Gentiles. Both obey. Both hesitated, but both obey. But after they obey, what happened? History changed. We often see people for who they are, but God sees them for who they can become. Saul became God's instrument to carry the gospel to the nations. Cornelius became God's gateway for the then Gentiles to enter the church. One act of obedience, one strategic person. History changed. So the challenge for us is this. We often ask, who needs the gospel? This is the right question. But there's another question we should ask. Who is God preparing? Because today's unbeliever may become tomorrow's kingdom leader. Today's colleague may become tomorrow's missionary. Today's neighbor may become tomorrow's church planter. And the person you least expect may become the one God uses the most. Just as Saul did. Just as Cornelius did. So if we are not spiritually alert, we may overlook the very person God is preparing, and we could have dismissed today's Cornelius because he doesn't look like one. But God often sees what we cannot. So today, as we come to a close, I want to share with this. God does not merely save individuals. He strategically positions people for kingdom impact. So stay spiritually alert. Ask God to give you His eyes to see people, not merely for who they are, but for who they may become through the transforming power of the gospel. Never underestimate one obedient encounter. Never underestimate one strategic person. God can use it to change the course of kingdom's history. In just 3 days' time, on 1st of July, many of us will join believers across Singapore in the 40 days prayer and fast. Every year our church has been joining them. Let us pray as Cornelius pray, trusting God to prepare hearts, open doors, and lead us to the people He's already preparing to receive the gospel. And as we pray during these 40 days, let us not only ask the Holy Spirit to open doors, but also ask Him to open our eyes, change our hearts, and give us the courage to step through the doors He opens. Shall we just rise for prayer? Close our eyes. Just respond to the Lord for the word that has been released. We cannot see the Holy Spirit, but you know He's always orchestrating opportunity. He's always setting up meetings. He's the one who is always changing hearts. If only we stay alert to His voice. Today, let's just come with the eyes closed and ask the Holy Spirit. And as He speaks to you this morning, that you do a response to His word. Whatever that He's laying upon your hearts right now, from what you have heard, I'd like us to just make a response. Could it be the assumptions? Could it be judgmental? Could it be inconvenience? Could it be fear of rejection? Just respond to the Lord and ask Him to change your hearts and just as Cornelius' prayer started everything going, reflect on our prayer life. Have we been praying like Cornelius? Everything starts with a prayer. So if we have not really prayed like Cornelius today, renew our hearts to pray like Cornelius as we prepare for the 40-day prayer and fast. Today's calling is also this week onwards, as we prepare for months ahead, are we a Cornelius who built bridges, who built relational bridges? Are we investing in people's life by praying for them, by engaging them, by carving out time to engage them on a consistent basis? Have we overcome the fear of making the first move to start a conversation? Are we like Cornelius, when the opportunity opens, we already have a pool of relationships gathered at the room, waiting upon the Holy Spirit. Ask God to show the strategic person He's already prepared for you in your life. Because when the Holy Spirit opens the door, get ready to walk through it. This is the commission of the Lord. Shall we lift our hands to pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for not only choosing us into your kingdom, by calling us a useful vessel that will touch and transform lives around us. Forgive us for putting a lot of barriers in our mindset that inhibit the move of the Holy Spirit. That we have been consumed by our own assumptions, fearful of inconveniences and rejection by people. Today we ask for forgiveness and cleansing. And as we clear this barrier in our mindset, we want to follow what like Peter did. Simply be bold to proclaim the gospel. So today help us to rise up in faith, to trust you, Holy Spirit, that you are already preparing things that we cannot see beyond us. Even as we prepare to move to our church in Street 86, we know that you are going ahead of us. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated.